When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We have Timothy Lowe on the phone with us right now. He's a resume specialist at Your Next Jump in Chicago. Hey, Timothy, welcome to the program.
Having me on.
Well, it's really nice to have you. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is this idea of reskilling. We're starting to hear about people talk about, you know, well, how do I make the jump? I've got to take a lateral move, or I've got to move into a whole different field because maybe my field doesn't have a place for me anymore. My field doesn't exist anymore. And people are trying to figure out how to assess what skills they actually have and then how to sort of map them onto a new career, a new job. Let's just go back to the beginning. How do you think about something like that? Because that's a pretty major mental shift for somebody, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you're right. A lot of that is happening right now. And so one of the best ways to really do that is as you present yourself, is not necessarily focus so much on the experience on your resume, but really open up the resume by focusing on the skills that you have that are transferable, especially if you're looking to make or you have to make a move into something that is different. We can talk a little bit about resume writing. Whenever we write a resume, there's kind of two goals that we have. One is a lot of resumes, and this is really natural, almost every resume falls into this category, is that they tend to read sort of like job descriptions, right? So people will put down, these are my day-to-day activities, these are my roles and responsibilities, how many people I manage, these are the projects that I lead or the projects that I work on. And of course, there's a place for that on the resume. But what we find what most employers are looking for is really answering the so what question. Okay, great. You know, you've done all these great things. You worked in this capacity. The so what? You know, what were the results? What were the outcomes? Those things that you did, you know, what did they lead to, right? And the way that we look at it with our clients is if someone had the same job, same title as you, where you're working, right? And you're the one who's doing a great job. But let's just say this person who has the same job, same title as you, just isn't very good at what they do. Mm-hmm. Could they on their resume, though, write exactly what you have on yours, right? Could they say, yeah, I manage a team of five, I oversee a budget of $5 million, right? If they can say those same things, if I'm the potential employer and you guys are now both pursuing new positions, how do I know that you're the better candidate? And the only way that I can know that is not just for you to talk about what you do, but really to show how well you did it, right? And obviously metrics would be great, but not everyone is in sales and can say, you know, I raised revenue month to month from 2016 to 2018. But there are other things, right? Maybe there's awards that you won, recognition that you've gotten. Maybe you're selected to work on a certain project. It could even be something as simple as, look, you know, in all my performance evaluations for the last 3 years, and I got an exceeds expectation, right? Bottom line is what you're trying to show in that resume is you're not just a project manager. You're a really good project manager. And so you want to make sure that you're not just talking about what you do, but really showing them how well you did it. And that's number one. Number two is this, whenever you are trying to market yourself, especially if you're looking to make a transition into something different, is you want to make sure when someone picks up your resume, especially in the COVID, post-COVID environment, is every job that you apply to, there's going to be 100, 150, 200 people that are targeting those same positions. And in that initial round, if that HR person, you know, has to spend time reading through, digging through your resume, you could be the most qualified person, but if it's not easy for them to figure that out, they're just going to move on, right? If I'm looking at 150 resumes, do you think I'm going to spend 1 minute on each resume? No way, right? That's just 2.5 hours just to fill one role. And so our second goal for all of our clients is when you pick up the resume, really within 5, maybe 8 seconds, it's got to be crystal clear the answer to these two questions. What is it that you're trying to do? And what do you bring to the table as it pertains to the position that you're targeting? And the easier you make it for them to answer those two questions, the more effective your resume is going to be. You want to spoon feed them the information that they're looking for. So when they pick up your resume, the reaction should be, oh, yeah, this looks exactly like what I'm looking for.
So, Tim, let me just jump in and say, you know, one of the things that I know from my work at Best Money Moves, which is a financial wellness technology company and working with HR departments all over the country, is that many of them are now using automated systems for resumes. They're employing artificial intelligence-laced technology platforms to really help automatically sort through all these resumes. And so what I'm hearing is that resumes really have to conform. You've got to build a resume these days that an automated technology company, not a person, is actually going to be the first pass at that. So tell me a little bit about that. How many companies are using those today? Because my perception is more and more that's how they're sorting through that first pass of 1,000 resumes that come in.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a really good thing. And those are called ATS systems. They're called applicant tracking systems. And so what we do for all of our resumes is we put a section right near the top. We call it the core competency section. And the best thing that you can do, there's two areas of your resume that you should really adjust. One is put a title at the top of your resume, not an objective statement, but put a title that really as closely as possible matches what they're looking for. Then the second part for this ATS system, for the computers to hunt, look through the job posting, print it out, spend a few minutes reading it. There's probably 5 or 6 skills that they are looking for. If you have those 5 or 6 skills, list them as those first 5 things in your core competency section, and then all the other skills that you have that are related to the job, put it right underneath. Of course, computers are really important, but ultimately there's going to be a human eye that looks at every resume before they bring you in for an interview.
But you may not even, but you have to get through to that, right? Because of they're not going to bring in 500 people. They're going to maybe bring in like 5.
Exactly, yeah. So finding those keywords that are actually in the job posting and putting them in the core competency section, really in that first line, one, it makes it easy for anybody, including a computer, though computers could find words anywhere on the document, right? So that meets the ATS requirement, but at the same time, when it gets to that next round in front of the human eye, it also makes it easy for the human reader to digest your resume as well.
So that's interesting. So let's talk about those core competencies, which used to be called skills. And let's talk about people who are, let's say, in the hospitality industry, and now they've got to switch over into something completely different. Maybe they're going to be contract tracers, or, you know, which is a hiring at the moment, or maybe there's other areas of the economy that are starting to open up and rehire. Maybe it's going to be a job at an Amazon warehouse. Unclear to me, you know, where it's going to be. How do you advise your clients to look at the things that they do now and think about those in terms of skills? So if you are a bartender, for example, and you want to be, you know, need to become a contact tracer, or you want to make that leap, how do you think about the skills that go into bartending in a way that would make them applicable to becoming a contact tracer?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So skills that are, you know, applicable to all different types of industries, right? Obviously, for example, if you're a bartender and you're looking for a contact tracing position, right? As a bartender, customer service, right? Handling, you know, money, all of those types of things are skills that are specific to what you're doing. Obviously, it looks different as a bartender versus, you know, say in a different role. Same thing though, if you're in the hospitality industry and let's say you are a project manager at Marriott and you're now furloughed, same thing. If you're a project manager at Marriott, you understand scope, you understand time, you understand budget, you understand all the constraints of project management, you can still apply those things into different fields. And so take a look, again, for the job that you're looking to target, right? What are those things that they're asking for specifically? If you have those skills, even if they might look different in a different industry, but that is still a skill that you have, for example, project management, change management, strategy, whatever it is, you can still put those things on your resume. Obviously, they would look a little bit different, but certainly, you know, get educated as quickly as possible as how those skills are applied in the field that you're targeting.
All right. So if you've got this idea that you're going to do one thing or the other and you're changing, you know, really careers, changing direction, how important is it to express that in a cover letter? Do people actually even care about cover letters anymore, especially, you know, these automated systems?
Yeah, generally not as much. Unless the position asks specifically for a cover letter, you may not even need to include it, right? If I'm an HR person, I'm looking at 150, 200 resumes, it's not likely that I'm going to spend time looking at that cover letter. Just a quick word on cover letters. A big mistake that people make on the cover letter is that they put into narrative format the contents of their resume into the cover letter. That's not the goal of the cover letter. The cover letter has one goal only. It's to drive the reader to read that resume. So think about every interview that you go to. What is the first thing they say to you? It's usually something like, tell me about yourself, right? And they're not looking for you to say, I went to San Jose State University, and then I worked at Google, and then I worked at Apple. That's not what they're looking for. What they really want to know is, in 30 seconds, why are you sitting across the table from me? What makes you relevant for this position? Why should I spend the next hour of my time listening to why you want to work for me? And that's what you want to put in the cover letter. It should be about half a page, maybe three quarters of a page. Always open the cover letter by driving the reader, right, to understand the position you're targeting, and close the cover letter by making it clear to drive the reader to read your resume. That's the main goal of the cover letter.
It's so interesting because in the Wall Street Journal, yesterday, they had a long story, maybe it was Friday, about authenticity in job interviews, about how people need to really be more themselves as opposed to trying to be something that they imagine that the hiring manager wants. It used to be the advice was, no, be who they want you to be. And now it's be yourself, and they're either going to like you or not like you. What do you think about that?
I think there is some truth to that. I think people can very quickly sniff out if you are being not authentic or if you're trying to, you know, answer certain questions in a way that just isn't realistic. You know, for example, a popular interview question that we hear is, you know, what is your greatest weakness, right? And so a lot of times people will say, one of my greatest weaknesses is that I work too hard.
Yes, I was just going to say, I spend too many hours in the office. It's a weakness.
Too many hours, exactly, yeah. And that's really just kind of a humble brag, and that's not real. That's not authentic. A real way to address a question like that is to talk about a real issue, right? So, for example, I could say, you know, early on in my career, I struggled a lot with micromanaging. I started as a manager, I just didn't know how to trust the people that were under me. And so I took some opportunities to really put things in place that would help me in that area. For example, every week I would have a check-in call instead of checking with them every day and asking them and looking over their shoulders. Of course, I still struggle with that, but I've made a lot of progress in that area. And what that answer does is this. It shows that you are human, that you have a real problem, but you're mature enough to take active steps in trying to overcome that. And yes, you may still be struggling with it because you are human, but at least you are mature enough to recognize that you have the problem and you're taking active steps to alleviate it.
So authenticity, though, doesn't mean that you shouldn't rehearse these sorts of things, right? The idea that, you know, it shouldn't necessarily be off the cuff, because as you're pointing out, Tim, you really want to have this kind of a point to all of the stories that you tell in an interview. Your time is limited and you want to make sure that every single minute matters. So that what they're thinking about is that you're the smartest, most interesting, bright, curious, whatever candidate that's walked through their doors.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You need to prepare. You need to do your homework, research the company. What are the pain points that they have? And what are the things that you can authentically bring to them in terms of helping them alleviate some of those things, right? They're hiring you for a reason, to help them in a certain area. So think about what their needs are and what are your natural talents, your abilities, your things, the things that you like to do that you can bring to the table to really help them.
I think about all the people that I've hired over the years, and my pet peeve is when people don't research the companies and know what we do and know what I do and what I have done, all of which there's more information available about me online. You know, anybody could find out almost anything about me. And when people don't even take 5 minutes to do that, and when I say, do you have any questions? And they say, so what exactly does Best Money Moves do? It literally drives me through. The interview's over at that point.
No, absolutely. And as much as you're being interviewed, you're also interviewing the interviewer, right? You're trying to see if you're a good fit. And so doing your homework is really important, and it really provides it shows that you care, about this organization, that you don't just want a job, but that you want to build a relationship where you can come in and bring real value, and they can help you grow in your career as well. And so, yes, definitely doing background research before the interview is crucial.
Now, how do you convince somebody that you can do a job or you can learn a job if they're willing to give you a chance? And I know when we have such huge numbers of unemployment, that's a harder argument to make. But I'm thinking about somebody who maybe wants to go from being a bartender to a server in a restaurant, and that requires some training. How do you get somebody to take a chance on you?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really important. This is why in resume writing, right, you only have a few seconds to be known, to be recognized, right? And so in that resume, why I mentioned that first point is people want to know, even if you were doing something that was completely different than what I'm hiring for now, I want to know simply, every employer wants somebody who's smart, can pick things up quickly, and is going to get things done, and is easy to work with. And if you can show that no matter where you work, even if it was bartending or retail or, you know, working in an office space that's even completely different from what you're looking for now, they want to see those things reflected on your resume. Not that you just had the job, that you were just a bartender, right? But that you were employee of the month. Or that you were able to help raise sales, or you, whatever you did, you figured out a way to do a good job. And that's what really helps folks in the resume, as in that, especially in that second round when that hiring manager is taking a deeper look. And those skills, those core competencies, and that headline on the resume, that really helps in that first round when that HR person is trying to filter through 150 resumes to try to see if there's a match. Right? You don't want them to look at your resume and say, oh, this person's a bartender. How does this get in this pile? Right? But if you look at the top and it says, you know, experienced customer service, you know, specialist, you know, hyphen, you know, customer relationship management expertise, all of a sudden it changes the direction of that resume towards whatever it is that you're targeting.
So
you're taking the skills that you already have and applying to them, applying it to what they are looking for.
Which I think is so terrific. All right. We just have like a minute or so left. So
sure.
Give me the stupidest, dumbest, craziest, wackiest things you've ever seen on a resume.
Yeah, that's really funny. You know, certainly, I mean, I want to say the stupidest thing. I think people really are just trying to market themselves. Definitely, I wouldn't put a picture on the resume, not in the U.S. Certainly, that's not acceptable. But the other thing is, you know, one thing that's really being out of date that I still see on a lot of resumes is objective statements, right? Objective statements say, I am a project management professional seeking a position to utilize my skills in these areas, right? In this first stage, that company doesn't care anything about what you want. They want to know, what do you bring to the table? So take out that objective statement. Replace it with a title, reflecting the skills that you have that they are looking for. So I think that could be the best advice. I don't want to say it's silly. Certainly that has been very common, but it is not popular anymore. And of course, really, it you shouldn't have an objective statement in your resume.
One of the things that I think is also really important is being found online, and social is just so incredibly important. So, you know, definitely a LinkedIn profile.
Yep.
But what do you do about, like, say, Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, I think especially during the job search, lock those things down, especially in this very political environment. You don't know who is reading your resume. You don't know who is looking you up, especially before they bring you in. They will always look up your Facebook and look you up on social media. So lock all of those things down, or even disable them for that time period. That's really important. You don't want a college picture that, you know, just kind of compromises what your reputation is, you know, to really paint a picture of you, you know, 10 years later. So that's important. And a quick word on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is important. We have a lot of people say, I don't want to use LinkedIn, but here's the thing about LinkedIn. It's used as an accountability tool. HR folks will always look at your LinkedIn before they bring you in, because on that resume, you can write whatever the heck you want, theoretically. But are you willing to say those same things on your LinkedIn profile, where former coworkers, where bosses, where other people that know you can verify those things? And so make sure your resume and your LinkedIn marry up to one another, and make sure you have a LinkedIn when you are looking for a job.
That's such a great advice. Timothy Lowe is a resume specialist at Your Next Jump in Chicago. You can get there at yournextjump.com. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You have a great one.